This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we'll get to the signing of A.J. McCarron in just a second with the Houston Texans. But like yesterday, where we did the eight-man bracket for the Texans' worst free agent signing in the history of the franchise, and we kind of wove some Twitter polls into the show throughout the show. Every half hour during the show, we put up a new poll, 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7, so on and so forth, till eventually we arrived at validation for what we all knew all along. Brock Osweiler was far and away the worst free agent signing in the history of this team, although the hatred for Ed Reed was underrated. Ed Reed actually kept it close with Brock.
A little more than I anticipated,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, in the spirit of March Madness, which, by the way, starts tomorrow, we will be out at Twin Peaks on the Katy Freeway tomorrow, so hope you stop by during the basketball. And in the spirit of free agency going on, we did the worst yesterday. So this one, Rich put this one together. This is the Rich Lord Texans best free agent signing bracket, the Elite Eight. So, Rich, I will let you do the honors and take us through the seeding 1 through 8.
Well, I think there's no doubt that it goes beyond 8 if you really want to name all their positive free agent signings.
God, I would hope so.
So this was very subjective.
And been 17 years.
I'm guessing you and perhaps others will have issues with someone or some people I may have omitted, but here we go. I think this winds up like yesterday, a no-brainer battle between the 1 and 2 seed. And at the top of the bracket are Arian Foster at number 1, because I did make the decision to include undrafted free agents. As I said to you in the email, to me, a free agent's a free agent, whether you sign him in March or a few days after the draft. He's out on the open market. You signed him, you developed him, and he became the productive player he became. So Arian Foster, 1. Jonathan Joseph, 2. The 3 seed I'm putting at Antonio Smith, because I think he played a key role on perhaps the best defense in franchise history.
Hey, he made it to the end of his deal. If a free agent makes it to the end of their deal, right, it means they were a good signing.
I agree.
2/3 of the free agents that sign multi-year deals don't make it to the third year of their deal.
Yep. I promise there was no in-house bias at work when I chose Wade Smith as the 4 seed. Wade had a very productive four seasons with the Texans. He is the 4 seed. At 5, I'm going with a second undrafted free agent. That's A.J. Boye, who only became a Pro Bowler when he became a Jacksonville Jaguar. But in 2016, his career year, I mean, he pretty much proved himself to be playing at a very high level in his last year as a Texan. The 6th seed is Danielle Manning. I'm guessing that's the one where people are going to go, really, Rich? Danielle Manning?
I put him over A.J. Boye, if you want to know the truth.
I was a huge Danielle Manning fan,
Rich,
when he was here. Not only was he an impactful kick returner, he also had a pick 6 as a safety, but he was a tone setter on the back end
100%.
Of that secondary, one of the all-time great thumpers on the back end of the Texans secondary.
I think you've got Danielle Manning seated too low. I would put him ahead of A.J. Boye. In the 2 best seasons in the history of the franchise, Danielle Manning was a crucial piece. When that defense was humming, Danielle Manning was usually in the middle of a lot of that.
Yeah,
stuff.
And he took the opening kickoff in New England, 94 yards
he
against
did,
the Patriots.
He did, and then they kicked a field goal.
Settled for a Shane Graham field goal.
Yeah, James Casey, if you're listening, we love you, but that ball went right through your hands on that third down pass.
Rounding out the bracket at the 7th seed, I'm going with Shane Leckler.
I couldn't believe it when I saw the contract numbers on that. He was only 3 years, 5.5 mil.
3 years, 5.5, and he was here for 5 years, ages 37 through 41, and he was at the top of the league in most of those years.
He was solid.
Never made a Pro Bowl as a Texan, which might have been, a mistake, but he performed at a very high level. Oh. And at 8, I'm going with...
Only one punter can make it, Rich.
That's right. At 8, I'm going with Kevin Walter.
Yeah.
He signed a 1-year deal for $2.5 million, wound up hanging around for about 6 or 7 years, and I think was very productive for them.
I think the only notable omission for me... Well, first of all, you know, philosophically, I wouldn't include undrafted free agents, but this is your bracket, so do that. I think Foster... Not to diminish what Foster and Boye did for this team. just in general on this, I probably would have tried to find a spot for Tyrann Mathieu in there somewhere. Just because at 1 year, $7 million, you know, I wasn't crazy like gaga over what Mathieu did last year. I thought he was really good.
Yeah.
There's no chance in hell I would have paid him multi-year $14 million a year like Kansas City did. But for 1 year, $7 million, he was a bargain for them last year.
Yeah, well, he was. There's no argument as far as that's concerned.
And but, that's your guy, Rich. That's why it surprised me he didn't make the bracket.
What counted against him for me in this bracket is the one-and-done nature of his Texans career. And then there might have been a little spite in there because I'm still pissed off you left.
It's your bracket, Rich. His spite is part of your criteria.
Listen. And Kevin Walter, the game winner in 2011 at Cincinnati that clinched the first ever playoff berth, he gets the 8 seed for me.
Yeah. Kevin Walter was a solid player.
He was.
Here's the problem for Kevin Walter. Kevin Walter would have benefited as much from there being a legit number two receiver here for the Texans as Andre Johnson would have. And here's what I mean. Andre Johnson would have benefited just because there would have been a true attention grabber on the other side.
Yeah.
Like if Hopkins had been here just a couple of years earlier, like when this team was winning 11 games, 12 games, if Hopkins could have been there as a young player on the other side, oh man. And the reason I say Kevin Walter would have benefited from it is people would have thought of Kevin Walter more as a solid third receiver, good blocker, you know, just a glue guy, a fabric guy, as O'Brien likes to call him. He was miscast as a number two receiver. It's not Kevin Walter's fault. He was the number two receiver on the team. It's the fault of the front office.
There's no doubt about
it. So that's, I have no problem with Kevin Walter. I forgot he was a free agent. He's one of those guys, you almost forget how he got here. All of a sudden, the year Andre gets hurt in 2007, he misses half the season, and Walter's out there making plays.
It was a restricted free agent tender. Yeah. And then they turned it into a much bigger deal about 4 years later.
Right, right. Okay, good. Well, who knows? Rich, maybe someday when you and I are doing this down the road, I kind of hope this isn't the case because it'll mean Andre or Deshaun Watson will have gotten injured at some point this year. But maybe we look back at the signing of A.J. McCarron fondly someday. Who knows?
You know what? If you're a Texans fan, you're not rooting for that.
You don't want that. Now, however, I was rooting hard for them to sign A.J. McCarron when I heard he was making the visit here a couple of days ago. And this was a crucial signing for the Houston Texans, and it's a signing that I really like. A.J. McCarron coming in, it's a one-year, $3 million deal, so they're going to have to go through this exercise again next year and finding a backup quarterback for Deshaun Watson, but who cares? 2019 is all we care about right now. This is how I feel about McCarron, Rich. McCarron, he is, to me, clearly superior to the two backup quarterbacks that have backed up Deshaun Watson. Well, really three if you throw T.J. Yates in there.
No-brainer.
The two primary backups, Tom Savage and Brandon Whedon. He's played at a decent level in the NFL before. He was 2-1 for a playoff team in Cincinnati back in 2015. He should have won a playoff game against Pittsburgh if Vontaze Burfict doesn't go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs in that game. He's a winning player. And the other thing I like about this is, okay, a little bit of proof at least that Bill O'Brien was able to sell a guy, you know, on coming here. Like my guess is A.J. McCarron probably had other chances to be a backup quarterback. I think he's one of the better 8 or 9 backup quarterbacks in the league. I think he might even be better than a couple of starters out there. They convinced him to come here on a one-year deal. If I were A.J. McCarron, Rich, I would come here on a one-year deal because look what's happened with other guys who have played a year for O'Brien before.
Yeah.
Keenum winds up getting a big deal down the road. Fitzy is still getting paid. Mallett's out of the league now, so that's an exception. But Hoyer wound up getting another contract, you know?
Yeah.
Guys have generally left Houston as backup quarterbacks, and you know, with a couple of exceptions, they've gone on to actually get decent paydays at other places down the road.
Yeah, McCarron is not a bottom-of-the-heap guy.
I mean,
he is a capable backup with limited experience. We should be fair and say that he's only played in 12 games in the NFL. 7 of them came in a stint as the starter in Cincinnati in 2015 when Dalton was hurt.
Well, he only started 3 of those 7 games.
Okay, but he played in seven of them.
He started 3.
He wound up as the, quarterback of record in those 7 because the Bengals won 5-2.
Pro Football Reference says he was 2-1 as a starter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Either way, the numbers are good.
Yeah.
You know, and it's obviously a limited sampling, but whether it's touchdowns to interception, QB rating, completion percentage, all the numbers are pretty good.
I guess what I'm saying is he's even more inexperienced than what you're saying right now.
Yeah.
So, I like Rich. Let's face it. If Deshaun Watson goes down, the season's going to be teetering on the brink of disaster. If he goes down for any extended period of time. We're talking about a short-term loss. And yeah,
right.
If he goes down for 1 or 2 games, maybe 3 games, here's the thing about Bill O'Brien's tenure here that I find encouraging about this is that I think A.J. McCarron's every bit as good as all these other non-Deshaun guys who have come through the door here, whether it's Hoyer, Fitzpatrick, Mallett, Yates, Savage.
He's good at coming up with a plan that plays to the strengths of these guys.
Yeah, and to that point, he is Bill O'Brien in the early part of his career here, 2014, 2015, and I'll say 2016 too, because he brought in Savage to replace Brock Osweiler towards the end of the year. He's 6-0 in games started by Case Keenum, TJ Yates, Brandon Whedon, and Tom Savage in those 3 years. I get it, the 2017 year was a disaster for everybody. I'm kind of removing that from the mix because it was just...
That was 10 games, right?
It was without Deshaun.
That's what I'm saying.
It was 10 games, but JJ got hurt, Whitney got hurt. The season just went down the drain. I'm saying for a team that we think this is, a team that can be competitive, that can win a division, which is what those 2014 through 2016 teams, they were 9-7 teams. O'Brien was able to come up with a game plan to go 6-0 with Case Keenum, TJ Yates, Brandon Whedon, and Tom Savage.
I'm glad you made that point because I don't want any of our listeners to think we're suggesting that this is a viable long-term option. We know it's not, but it could be a viable short-term option.
Yeah, that's all you can ask for with this roster at this point.
Right.
That's all you can ask for from a backup is a guy who you look at if Deshaun... Let's pretend that bruised lung was something that required him to stay in Houston. He couldn't even get on a bus. He couldn't even get on the field. So he's going to have to sit for a couple weeks and then the bye week to heal that bruised lung.
Right.
Couple of games. Can we put this guy in here for a couple of games with a game plan tailored to his needs and tailored to his strengths and win a couple games? I think the answer is yes with AJ McCarron.
Yeah. Listen, I can only name two NFL teams who, if I were a fan of either of these teams, I'd have a reasonable level of confidence that the ship would keep sailing without our starting quarterback. And we've talked about it. Tyrod Taylor now with the Chargers and Teddy Bridgewater staying in New Orleans. That's it. I can't think of another backup situation where there would be that level of confidence.
You're saying if they were to go down, you could keep the ship going for more than a couple games?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not saying to the Nick Foles extent.
No.
But they could keep moving in the right direction.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think McCarron can get you through a couple of weeks, and that's really what you need.
Yes.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.